come back. It's a cry of a bride for a husband. The bridegroom, when are you going to return? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a wonderful joy to be in the presence of God this morning. Hallelujah. As we are standing, let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John. We are going through a series called Transformed. And we have gone through different ways how we become transformed with God. Through our worship, through our prayer, through our possessions, through our plans. But today I'm going to speak about something which is very interesting. And I'm sure that you will find it very interesting before the Lord. And it's a very, very beautiful subject. What to do when my plans do not work? I know you're all gone through situations when you make plans and you do not work, it does not work properly. So what do? So today, God is going to speak to us and hopefully we will get transformed in our plans. Can you all open our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 2? We are going to speak about a very interesting story. I know all the kids would also love it. Everybody would love it because it's a beautiful story. Because it's a story of a wedding. It's a story of a marriage. But it's also a story of a miracle. It's a story of the first miracle that Jesus did upon this earth. When he turned water into wine. So I'm going to read it from New King James Version. I want you all to follow in your own Bibles. John's Gospel chapter 2. And I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse number 11. John chapter 2, verse number 1 to 11. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill up the water pots with water," and they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out good wine, and when the guests are well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. Amen. Amen. Can we close our eyes for a word of prayer? Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you, Father Lord, for the many things that you talk to us, Father. Many times we plan many things in our life, but they don't work exactly as we want them to. This morning I pray that you speak to your people as you've spoken to my heart. What do we do when our plans do not work? Lord, what can we do when things that we anticipate do not happen exactly as we plan? Lord, I pray that you open our inner eyes and give us a wisdom that we will do exactly as you want. I thank you, Lord, for the offering that your people have offered so generously. Especially as today, Lord, we have started our funding for our building project. Father, we thank you. This is a good work that has begun, and I know, Lord, that you're going to do it in your time. You're going to do a wonderful work. We thank you for everybody who has supported, and I pray that you bless each and every of your brothers who opened their wallet and their purses and gave to the work of the God. I pray that you bless them abundantly. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can you all sit down in the presence of God? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 What is that? That was not supposed to be there. Okay. You know, many times there is a lot of planning that goes to a wedding. But usually something goes wrong sometime. And I have a funny story. A very young couple who was very much in love was getting married. The bride was very nervous about the big occasion, and the pastor chose one verse to encourage her. So the verse he chose was from 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 that says, "There is no fear in love, but the perfect love casts out fear." That was in 1 John chapter 4 verse 18. The pastor asked the best man to read it out. Now, unfortunately, the best man did not know the difference between the Gospel of John and the first letter of John. He did not know, because unlike us, he did not know the Bible, books of the Bible. That's why we tell our children, you need to know the books of the Bible. So the pastor told him to read out from 1 John, but he did not know the difference between the 1 John and the Gospel of John. So instead of reading, so as instructed, the best man introduced his reading by saying, "The pastor felt that this is an appropriate verse for the bride as she's standing there." And so instead of reading 1 John chapter 4 verse 18, he read the Gospel of John chapter 4 verse 18. And this is what it said. "You have had 5 husbands. The one that you have now is not your husband." This did not go according to the plan. Absolutely. I'm sure that they have realized the mistake, and the best man must have decided to read the Bible again and understand. I want to just start with my personal story. I know some of you know about my story. 25 years ago in June of 9, 1991, my story happens when I had completed my MBA in Lucknow, and I was all set to get ready to get married, and I was introduced to my future wife Nisi through my sister in Bombay. We went and met, and we felt that we were for each other. And so we had an engagement back in my place in Orissa, and then we decided on a date of marriage. That was June 9th of 1991. And the place was decided. Mommy is here, so she can, if you have any more doubts, you can go to her and ask her to confirm whatever I'm saying. I'm saying everything the truth. So we planned, and they did a lot of planning. We had a beautiful engagement. So, of course, this is the youngest daughter of their family. They have 2 sisters. Nisi is the youngest daughter. So they did a lot of planning, you know. They found a best place in Dadar. I don't know how many of you know Bombay. In one of the beautiful halls, they arranged everything, the flowers, the decorations, the chairs, the buffet, the caterers. They arranged for the videographer, the photographer. Yeah, send out invitations, everything is wonderfully planned. Everything is planned, and the bridegroom as me, and our parents came from Orissa. I came from Lucknow, I came from Delhi. My pastor was Pastor Papi Mathai from AG Church, pastor in Lucknow. He also came. We were in a beautiful hotel in downtown Dadar. We came about, I think, on the 8th or the 7th night we came. We arrived in the night, and then we were in the hotel room on 8th morning. And 9th, at 4 o'clock is supposed to be our wedding. So everything planned, beautifully arranged. I praise God. I am on fire, and I'm praising God for this new chapter in my life. And lo and behold, God decides to open up the windows of heaven, and He starts pouring out rain, starting on the 8th morning. And I'm in the hotel room, and the bridegroom, most of the party is there. I'm there with my pastor, and so when the rain started pouring, it started pouring really hard. I mean, in Bombay, some of you know, when it pours hard, it rains, it pours. And it started pouring the whole of the 8th. The day it was pouring like showers. I mean, God was so pleased, I believe, with me getting married. He said, "Okay, let him have the full. I'm going to give him the best he can." And so he poured out. He just opened the windows like Noah's time. He opened the windows of heaven, and it just came. And when the rain comes down in Dadar, I don't know if you know, it's a low area in Bombay place. So it is the lowest area. So the waters, when the crane comes down, what happens? The flood goes up. So the water comes up. And lo and behold, 9th morning, I prayed on my knees. I joined hands with my pastor who was in my next room. We prayed. We trusted in God. We took the faith and said, "Lord, stop the rain like you did with Elijah. You have to stop it for our wedding to take place on the 9th. And we prayed on the 8th night. I went to sleep. In the morning, I opened my eyes. I decided to say, thank you, Father, for the sunshine. Open the windows and what do I see?
Bye.
The rains have not stopped. Continuing to rain. Flooded. That day, Bombay halted. If you are no little bit of Bombay, if the trains in Bombay stop, it means something really serious is happening. All the local trains in Bombay stopped. On top of that, there is no electricity anywhere. On top of that, there is no way vehicles can go on the road. No restaurants are open. Everything came to a standstill, and I'm here in the hotel room, trusting and believing in the greatest day of my life, which is my wedding. I'm trusting that God is going to stop the rain. Do you know what happened? 4 o'clock was the time when the people were believing. 4 o'clock, the rains did not stop. Nothing happened. But you know what? God had a plan, and He allowed Nisi and their people to come on a bus. I don't know how they arrived. They came about 5:30 or 6 o'clock. They came all the way from Mulund. And they said, we are here. And so I had to take a decision. Either we postpone the wedding, or at that moment somebody jumped the fence in the place where we were supposed to get married. And he got somebody to do an emergency light. And they said, we can do the wedding. Come on, let's do it. And I thought, Lord, we have all planned. I mean, if you go back, I don't know when the wedding is going to happen. So, you know, and you won't believe it. I'm one of the only bridegrooms who swam through the water for my wedding. Nisi came. She did not have the usual. I've seen so many videos of recently Rinsi and all that. They have, you know, you have the decked car and you sit like this, you smile like this, you hold the bouquet like this, you walk. You know, all this we were also planning to do, but nothing of this happened. Everything was dark. We had a few lights. But the beautiful thing is that the wedding took place that night on June 9th. Now, I know you're all laughing and saying, oh, Pastor, he deserved that. It's too much stress. I will tell you one very positive thing. Number one, I believe that this was showers of blessings. When God said, oh, my son is getting married, he could not contain the joy. He started laughing and he said, let it rain. And it rained. And the flood came. And so I believe it was showers of blessings. 25 years it's happened. We are still getting blessed. And we have a wonderful, wonderful family. I praise God for that. But the second and also a very important reason. If you go back, and I'll challenge you on this. Many of you got married many years ago. You go and ask somebody who attended your wedding, do you remember what you ate in that wedding? Or what did that pastor speak in your wedding? You ask any of your guests. I challenge you. None of them will remember anything. After 20 years, 25 years, people have forgotten. You know what happens to us? When we ask anybody who came to that wedding, do you remember? They can remember everything in that wedding. That much of suffering they took to come. Somebody bogged on the train platform and the rail for 8 hours to reach our wedding place. Nobody who has attended the wedding can forget our marriage. It is forever imprinted in their hearts. They say, till we die. Anytime we meet our old friends in Bombay, they say, oh, we cannot forget your wedding still. What a wedding it was. And you see, after the wedding, this is a picture of me and Nisi with our friend Sam Abraham from Lebanon. What do you see? Do you see us crying here? What are we doing here? We are happy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we just give God the glory? Praise the Lord. What happens when your plans do not go according to your expectations? That is what I wanted to bring home, a real example of what my life, to show you. Many times you plan certain things, but it does not happen according to your plan. And so what you do? And so we come to the story of the wedding at Cana. It's another wedding. Beautiful wedding. I believe that they have all planned and they did a lot of things. And what is happening here is that this wedding took place, but there was something unfortunate happened. And so in the wedding of Cana, this is a picture of a wedding where Jesus was there. And this is a picture of a wedding that happened. And what really happened? I want to take you through 4 lessons to learn from this first miracle of Jesus about what to do when your plans do not work. If you are writing it down, please note it. It's very important. What do you do? There are 4 lessons to learn from this story When your plans do not work, whether it is before your wedding or whether it is before an event or whether it's before your career, your whatever it is, what do you do when your plans do not work? Number one, the first thing, when you read the first three verses, in verse number 1, 2 and 3, we understand the first thing we should do is admit that there is a problem and that your plan has fallen apart. Admit it. Don't be saying, I can do it, I can still do it. No. Admit that your plan has not worked. You see here, this was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was invited. And we see in those days, the wedding was not like our wedding. Now we have this express wedding. Our marriage is about 1 hour, maybe 45 minutes. Oh, 1 hour is too long. In Kerala, it was like 3-4 hours and four preachers preaching you down, beating you down. But now it's a 1 hour quickie wedding. Everything is quick. In Israel, it's not like that. The wedding used to happen a week. 1 week of festivities. And during this week, the guests will all come. The parents of the groom will provide all the food and drink that they need for the celebrations. And in this passage, we don't know the name of the bride and the groom, but we are familiar with some of the people who are invited. We see that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was invited. Also, Jesus and his disciples were invited. Now, you see in this wedding what happened. As the wedding progressed, probably on the third day or the fourth day, the wine ran out. Now, let me tell you why it is important in a Jewish wedding. Because in a wedding for a Jew, the wine is representing joy. So, it is a joyous celebration. Without wine, they cannot celebrate that. And so, when the wine runs out, the party stops there. It's like you have a party, the music is on. When the music stops, everything is quiet. It's like that. The wine ran out. And I can imagine the bride coming to her mother and saying, you know, my wedding day was not supposed to be like this. What you did? Who did the planning? Where is the wedding planner? Let me see that person. I'm really upset about this. And, you know, they have run out of wine. I mean, what would she be speaking? Maybe, you know, you may also have had similar thoughts. Maybe marriage is not supposed to be the horror that you're experiencing today. Parenting is not supposed to be filled with all the sorrow that you are experiencing today. Our Christian life is not supposed to be all the worry that you are having in your life today. You say that, the Christianity says, when I am in Christ, I am joyous. But look at your life, if joy has gone, your life is not going according to your plan. What do you do? There was maybe somebody who was responsible for the planning and coordinating the feast. And it must have been embarrassing because this person messed up. Did not plan enough night. But one thing is there. You see, they admitted that they have a need. And that is what we need to do. The first thing that happened in this story, when you come to the first three verses, they say, came to Mary and said, there is no wine. Can you do something about it? There is no wine. The first thing, if something has to happen in your life, is admit that you have a problem. Till the moment you admit you have a problem, there is no solution for it. Unless you go before a doctor and say, these are the symptoms of my sickness, you do not find a cure. As long as you carry on with the worry in your life and you don't tell anybody and you don't admit it, you are never going to get a solution from your life. Hallelujah. And so what you need to do, just like them, you need to search for somebody who can meet your need. And that brings us to the second thing that we can do when our plans do not work. You need to bring the problem to Jesus and see if He has a plan. When your plan does not work, you admit that there is a problem. The second thing is find out who can help you to do His plan and bring the problem to Jesus. When Mary realized that there was a problem, what does she do? She comes to Jesus. When you see from the second part of verse number 3, the mother of Jesus, Mary, comes to Jesus and say, they do not have any more wine. And so, she correctly took the problem to Jesus. Because, it is possible that the family did not plan for the wedding well, but the best thing that they did was, You know what? They invited Jesus into their greatest life event. I'm telling you, whatever you do, if you don't invite Jesus in the midst of that thing, your everything is going to fail. So when they invited Jesus, this opened the possibility of a miracle. Because when Mary came to Jesus and told him, there is a problem, you look at the response of Jesus. He's not even saying, Mom, Mother Mary, he's not saying all that. He says, Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come. It sounds like a little cold and a little harsh. And let me tell you, sometimes when we bring our request to God, we think that He's not listening. He appears to be cold. He appears to be hard. He appears to have not heard our prayer. It seems that the windows of heaven are shut up for us. And there is no, God is not hearing our prayer. But do you know what? The response that Jesus gave to Mary, Jesus is telling is that you are no longer in control. I am going to do what is needed. He is no longer under obligation to do what she wants, but he wants to do what his heavenly Father wants. That's why he says, my hour has not come. Who is deciding the hour? My heavenly Father. He tells me when I have to start my ministry, and my hour has not come. But because you say it, I believe that Jesus looked to his Father and said, Father, can I do this? Because this family is in a distress. And so what happens? When we come to God and ask Him certain things, sometimes, you know, He keeps silent, but let me tell you that He is working behind the scenes. And so, what will bring us the joy is the greatest blessing that He's going to answer. God will answer our prayers with a miracle. He will do it in His way and according to His time. It's not my time. God, I need it now. I need it now. No. Maybe your child is asking for an iPhone 6 Plus or iPhone 7 right now when he's 8 years old. You as a parent say, no son, I will give it to you. Don't worry. Your time is not now. The Father knows when the time is and He will do it appropriately. And so He will do it in His own way. And so that is that when we bring the problem to Jesus, understand that Jesus has a better plan than we can think about. That brings us to the third thing we can do when our plans do not work. Do whatever Jesus tells you. I want you to write this down. Do whatever Jesus tells you to fix the problem and follow His plan. Whatever Jesus tells you. When you invite Jesus, you make it possible for Him to supply joy where there is no joy. So, and He will renew and refresh you. But the fact is that only Jesus being there does not bring the joy. Joy comes when you let go of the control. Give it to the hand of Jesus. Amen? Amen? You need to give up the control and say, Lord, You take over. You do something extraordinary. And so it is not just that Jesus is there, but say, Lord, I'm willing to obey. You tell me whatever I need to do. I'm willing to obey You. And so obedience is the form where God will start to do a miracle. And so what does Mary say here? Look at verse number 5. Mary tells the servants, do whatever. Whatever. If you have been told to run up the mountain 10 times, do it. Do whatever Jesus tells you. Because Mary knew in her heart that this is God in flesh and He can do amazing things. Do whatever. Do you know what happened the moment then Jesus took control? Jesus ceased to be the guest of that wedding and He became the one in control over the wedding. And so what Jesus said, He took over. He took control. And then there was a miracle that happened. The Bible records that there were 6 water pots. Very conveniently, these water pots, if you understand, the stone water pots are not for drinking water. These are waters that are used to clean your hand and feet when you come from outside. Those days, they didn't have the shoes and the boots and all that. They were having slippers and their feet would get dusty with the sand and the dust of the ground. So whenever somebody enters into a home, the servants will pour out the water upon their hands and their feet to make them clean. And so God used that water pots. They were lying there, 6 of them. And Jesus used what He had in His hand. So let me tell you, when Jesus does a miracle, He will use what you have with you.
Just like he used the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed the crowd, he will use what you have. You need to give everything that you have in his hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the purpose was that Jesus, this water pot was meant for purification, but it was meant for sanitation. It was not meant for drinking. And they say that this was a stone jars. And so what did Jesus say? Fill the water pots with water. Fill it. And so they say that these jars altogether would be about 180 to 200 gallons of water. And so this servant must have thought, oh, he said fill it. Let me just, like some of us does it, you know, when you hear God's word, oh, pastor told me, you know, do this. Oh, let me just pray a short prayer. Let me come to the church once in a while. Don't have to come for fasting, prayer and all that. Let me just, you know, do my usual thing. No, Jesus said, fill it to the brim. There was no thing for doubt and excuses there. Told the servants, fill the water pots. And what you read in verse number 7, they filled them to the brim. To the point where one more drop would overflow the water. They filled the water pots to the brim. This is called total obedience. If you want a miracle in your life, when God tells you to do something, you obey Him. Do what He wants. And the servants took the words of Jesus literally. And they filled it to the brim. You know, if you want joy in your life, if there is any area in your life where you are lacking the joy of the Lord, there is a problem. We need to admit it to Jesus. And when the Lord will talk to us, we need to obey Him completely. We need to be obedient in whatever He tells us. Because the amount of joy that you experience is directly proportional to the obedience that you give to what He says. And that will bring us to the fourth. And this is from chapter 2 verses 5 to 10. I don't want to go into the story. You all know by heart. The servants filled it. Then he said, take it to the guy who is tasting, you know, the wine taster. He says, oh, what you did? You kept the best wine till now. Everybody feels the useless wine first. And so that itself means that the wine that Jesus turned from water to wine, that was a better quality wine. It was a much better quality than the ones that this family was able to afford giving to the guests. He made the best wine. And they said, what did you do it? And then the Bible stops there describing the miracle and says that this is the beginning of signs that Jesus did. The first and the greatest sign that Jesus did was bring joy back in a wedding. And though, so that comes to us, our final point is that we need to commit ourselves to Jesus, the problem solver. Let Him plan for the rest of our life. You know, the result, if you see, of this miracle, one, that it saved the family from embarrassment. I remember when I was growing up, got invited to a wedding of one of the Malayalis back in Orissa when we were staying. I still remember, I will never forget that wedding again. Because they invited 1,000 people and they made food for 500 people. So when the time for food came, people are running, pushing chairs, pushing plates. Nobody's getting anything. And we were also there trying to get a little bit of eat to eat before we go. I will never forget that wedding. It's an embarrassment. They called all kinds of names to that father of the son and the bride. They were very upset. Everybody was upset. It would have been an embarrassment. Jesus saved that family from a big embarrassment. There are two miracles that happen, and I'm going to close here. One, Jesus changed the water to wine. He is the creator God. Nothing is impossible. He didn't have to order immediately through Amazon. Oh, can you get me an immediate shipment right now? I need some wine quickly. No. Jesus didn't need to do all that. He looked at the wine there. Someone poet has described like this. When the creator God looked at His creation, the water, He looked at the water intently. The creation started blushing and the color changed into a red color and it became a wine. The creation blushed when the creator just looked at it. We don't see Jesus speaking a word to the water. We don't see Him taking the water and throwing it up and down. He does not do any kind of antics. He just looked at the water. He just told, fill it to the brim and take a portion and start giving to the guest people. You know, when Jesus can do a miracle, He can even do a creative miracle. I want you to believe by faith. God can create something where there is no way. If your medical doctor says it's no way, I'm telling you today in the word of God, God can do a creative miracle in your life.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If your job employment says there is no way you get a promotion, you're going to be laid off, I'm telling you, God is going to open a door that nobody can think about.
Hallelujah.
Today I'm speaking in the power of God and I'm telling you, trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. He can do the impossible because that is what He wants to do in your life.
Hallelujah.
So that your faith in Him will not waver. So the first miracle, as I see it, was that He changed the water into wine. And the celebration could continue. But the most greatest miracle, if you look to verse number 11, and I'm going to close with this. Do you see what is written there? He changed the hearts of His disciples. It says His disciples believed in Him. You see His disciples who came to Jesus? God, through that miracle, brought a faith in His disciples' lives. And they started believing, this is the Messiah, the God of creation. He has created. He has created something. I want to tell you that when your joy is running out in your life, in any area, if you are not happy and rejoicing before the Lord, understand there is a problem in your life and you need to come to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When our plans do not work, submit yourself to the presence of the Lord. As I close, I'm remembering what Apostle Paul, sitting in the prison, waiting to die, he's writing in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Our joy should not be upon our circumstances. This is not happiness. This is joy. It goes beyond our circumstances. I want to conclude with a real story. And very quickly we are going to close here. Let me give you a real story that you will understand. You see a man here on a wheelchair. I know if I ask you, none of you know about him. Because I also didn't know who he was. His name is Robert Reed. And this is a statement that he has made, which has caught attention. He said, this man, look at him. Look at him if you can see very carefully. He said, I have everything I need for joy. Look at his feature. His hand is twisted. His feet is useless. He cannot take a bath on his own. He cannot feed himself. He cannot brush his teeth, he cannot comb his hair, he cannot put on his underwear. Why? Because he has cerebral palsy. His name is Richard Reed. Do you know what? Richard's disease of cerebral palsy did not prevent Richard to become a missionary in Portugal. He moved to Lisbon in 1972 alone as a lone missionary. He rented a hotel room and started studying Portuguese. He found a restaurant owner who would feed him after the rush hour with leftover food. And he found a tutor who would instruct him in the Portuguese language. Every day in the morning he will go and sit in a park. And he would distribute brochures about Christ. In the 6 years that he was in Portugal, he led 70 people to the Lord. 70 people, this crippled man, he led them to the Lord, and one of them became his wife, whose name was Rosa. Today he is speaking around in different churches across the country. People have to carry him to the platform. They have to put a Bible in his lap. His stiff fingers will open the pages. But he does not ask for your sympathy. You know what he says? I have everything that I need for joy. Our life is not about what we have. Our life is about who we have in the center of our lives. It doesn't matter what kind of job you have, what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive in, what kind of things you have materially. It does not matter. What is that? What you do with what you have? Who do you have in the center of your life? Are you going according to His pattern? Because when you accept the pattern of God, He will change things around. This man's life is bubbling with joy because he has Jesus at the center of his life, who is directing him according to His plan and purpose, even though he is a disabled person. Today, let me tell you, let God transform us. I'm praying to God. Let God transform us by renewing our mind, filling us with joy. Some of you, I know, You are not happy.
For many reasons, you are not happy today.
But you know why? Because Satan has stolen away your happiness and your joy from your life. You don't have the happiness of living. And you are angry and upset and you are disgruntled. But Jesus says today, I am come to help you if you would allow me to. If you would allow me to. Let's transfer. Can you all stand up on our feet? Hallelujah, right now. I want us to look to the Lord. Every one of us. Can you all close your eyes? I don't know where you are today in this world and in your personal life. I have no idea. But I'm telling you today. If you do not have joy in any area of your life. Whether it is your marriage. Whether it is your parenting. Whether it's your work. Whether it is your relationship. Today I am asking you this. Make Jesus the center of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Invite Him into your life. Invite Him. Invite Him that He will be there to call upon when your plan is falling apart. Bring the problem to Jesus. He is the one who can take care of your every need. Do whatever Jesus is telling you to fix the problem. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't be disobedient to the word of God today. Hallelujah. And commit yourself to say, Lord, I am there to do what you tell me. You speak to me, Lord, I am going to do whatever. Can we just close our eyes and look to the Lord this morning? Can we all, every one of us, close our eyes and can you make a prayer to the Lord? Lord, come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into the center of my life. Lord, I want you to take control. I don't want to be on the driver's seat anymore. I want to give you the driver's seat and the navigation of the roadmap of my life. And I want to give you, Lord, everything in my life. Are you pulling back from certain decisions that you know that you have to take today? Brother and sister, I'm telling you with the love of God, don't keep yourself back. Obey what Jesus is telling you to do. Just obey. Don't bring excuses. Don't analyze the problem and bring about your little limited excuses that you have. Trust in Jesus. Can we all sing this song together? Come into my heart.